Amen. As I was saying, the Bible, the Word of God that we have, this Bible is reliable. And I am so surprised to see people. There's a movement to discredit different books of this Bible. One of the first that they went after was Paul. And they said, well, he's not really a genuine apostle, you know. I mean, this is not these intellectual university seminary type people. That's not who I'm talking about. I'm talking about some other movement out there that want to discredit. Well, you discredit Paul, you've discredited half the New Testament. You discredited all the end time prophecy, almost, not all of it. I mean, there was Jesus. Of course, there's Peter, you know. But you've discredited everything if you discredit Paul. And then they whittle away at this. They want to whittle away at the last half of, what is it, Mark or something, a few verses in there they don't like. And well, then you're getting into the intellectuals. Well, this appears to have been written by a different author. And, you know, I mean, they come up with these crazy things. You're gonna carve out the whole Bible if you don't stop.
And some have questioned Genesis.
Oh, Genesis. Oh, that's old. I mean, that's Origen. He didn't like the first part of Genesis about the creation. And of course, in the universities, you're not going to find any credence for Genesis. Maybe when you get to Abraham or something. But no, before that, thousands and tens of millions of years, you know, and that type of thing. Well, anyway, let's get back to Daniel. I want to focus a little bit on this verse. This is a very key verse in chapter 9 of Daniel. Okay, very key. And it is a verse so misunderstood by the church. I think it's purposely misunderstood because they're trying to twist it to make it fit their pre-trib rapture doctrine and their seven-year tribulation. There is no... We're going to talk today about the last 3.5 years of... in other words, the last half of Daniel's 70th week. 70th week is a seven-year period. The last half. Now, it says very clearly in these verses. Let me read a few. I'll skip verse 24. We've already read that. Know, therefore, and understand, verse 25, that from the going forth of the commandment to restore and to rebuild and to build Jerusalem, which is really rebuild, unto the Messiah, the Prince, shall be 7 weeks and 80 weeks. In other words, that's 69. I do not understand why it split. I believe that there was something that happened in the building of Jerusalem that lasted 49 years. Maybe it took that long to really consider it finished. Maybe that's, I don't know what happened. But for some reason, God divided that 69 into 7 and the last, the 82, which would be 62. Okay? And the street shall be built again and the wall in troublous times. Okay? Now, this is a natural thing. There are spiritual understandings of this word as well. So let me go down to the next verse. And after 82, in other words, at the fulfillment of the 69, all right, he's saying, after that, okay, shall Messiah be cut off. All right, in other words, it's after that. We put these numbers up here the other day. Shall Messiah be cut off, but not for himself? Now, listen to this. Do those of you that took English 101 in 5th grade or 7th grade or 9th grade or wherever you took it, the way this sentence is structured, there is a subject. Okay, what's involved in a sentence? Come on, who's the teacher here? There's a subject. There's an action, verbs, yeah, nouns, verbs, everything, adjectives, but there's a main subject, and in a sentence, The dog ran fast. The subject is the dog, right? What did the dog do? The dog ran fast. All right, now look at this sentence. This is I believe, a very accurately, I'm going to use the word interpret, but that's not, translated from the Hebrew here. After 62 weeks shall Messiah be cut off. That means that Messiah will be here after 62 weeks. Okay? He will be here. The Messiah will be on the scene. That's quite clear. They could have figured out after the 69th week, we put the date at 457 BC, and there would be 483 years to 26 AD. By the way, I'm reading a book the other day. You know, they don't use BC and AD anymore. They don't like that. Before Christ, now it's, what is it? BCE, before the common era, before the something era. they have no other way of keeping time, so they have to go to that mark of the BC, but they don't like the word Christ in there. This is these archaeologists and these geologists and what have you that believe in evolution. They don't believe in Christ. All right? So, after 62 shall Messiah be cut off, but not for himself. Okay? Now listen, and here's the second part of the sentence. So this is not the main subject. It says, and the people of the prince that shall come shall destroy the city and the sanctuary, and the end thereof shall be with a flood, and unto the end of the war desolations are determined. Now, this sentence is all one sentence. It says, first of all, it says Messiah shall be cut off. That's the subject. The subject is the Messiah. Messiah. Right? And the Messiah is Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And then it says, and the people of the prince. Now, neither the people nor the prince is the subject of this sentence. Right?
Right.
It's just a little after addition here. It's not the main theme of the sentence. So, this, the people of the prince then that came, that destroyed the city, this has been fulfilled in the natural on at least two different levels. It was fulfilled by this evil man, one of the generals under Alexander the Great, a man named Antiochus Epiphanes, a vile, wicked, evil man, that somehow when Alexander's kingdom was divided to the four winds, he got the wind that included Israel. And he was just wicked, vile in his treatment of the people of Israel. Secondly, it was fulfilled also in the year 70 AD by Titus, Titus was the Vespasian, was the son, right? Or Titus was the son, which was which? Anyway, he started the job and turned it over to his son. Titus, I think, is the one that finished the job. Vespasian might have been the one that started the job. Anyway, they destroyed Jerusalem, and it was a terrible affair. You can go on the internet and look up the description of some of the horrible things that happened. It's all been written. I think Josephus wrote quite a lot about it. How they just invaded the sanctuary, and they broke through stones and everything else to get to the last people that were hiding in the temple and thinking that they could avoid this thing. No, it was totally destroyed. And the whole thing is, it was an abomination that caused desolation. Now, the world does not believe this day that abomination causes any problem. They believe that they can just go out with their horrible sins, their mocking of the way God created man, the way the mocking of God created male and female, and said that it was good, and they mock at that, and it becomes an abomination in the nostrils of God, a stink and a smell. And they say, well, we go on and on, you know, we're winning more rights, we're winning this, we're winning that. Nothing's going to happen, see? We can get the laws changed and all that. Now, but God says, no, sooner or later, this thing is going to cause a desolation. Do you know what desolation means? Come on, help me out here, somebody. What, in your mind, what does the word desolation mean?
There's nothing yet living in the lives, all total destruction.
Nothing left. Nothing of any worth left. Desolation. But, you know, sometimes I'm listening to the news every day. Every day here where we live. Bang, bang. Oh, they arrest somebody. He shot three people. They're going to charge him. Maybe he's going to go 10 years into the big house. He'll get out in three or something. Bang, bang, he goes out again. Every day, it's on the news. What's happening? Well, people are collecting guns, but not for the same reason. All right, well, let me go on. Now, it says in verse 27, and he shall confirm the covenant with many. What is the subject of, it says, and he? In other words, when you start a sentence with the word and, you're referring to the previous sentence.
The prince.
No, the subject is not the prince.
The Messiah.
The subject is the Messiah. The prince would be Titus. The prince would be Antiochus. The prince would be the Antichrist. And there will be a prince like that who will call himself a prince. And he shall confirm the covenant with many for 1 week. Okay, now this has to be the Messiah. First of all, see, I'm going to tell you the wrong interpretation so you know not to follow it. The church system, by and large, 90% of the church system says that this he is referring to an antichrist who is going to come on the scene during these last days, and he's going to make a contract with Israel, the nation of Israel, and he will make a covenant. He'll say, oh, we're going to have peace and everything's going to be fine. And then in the midst of the 7 years, in other words, after 3.5 years, he's going to, oh, I changed my mind, we're going to have war, we're going to kill everybody. That is not, and so therefore they use this verse to say, well, there's a 7 year tribulation. The first half is going to be bad, but the second half is going to be really bad. That you cannot support that doctrine with this verse. You cannot support it with any verse that I have found, even in the New Testament. It cannot be supported. Come on, take me on. Let's talk about the words and the meaning of the words. You can't support it. I bought it one time. But thank God, God wouldn't allow me to teach it because I had an uneasy feeling. And I said, you know, there's something wrong with this. I'm not going to teach a thing like this until I can prove everything, every word. I want to prove every sentence. I want to know exactly that every piece of the puzzle fits to every other piece, perfectly fits. And not because I twisted or jammed it together in some fashion to make it fit. And that's what this other doctrine does. It twists, it jams things together that don't fit. All right, he shall confirm the covenant with many for 1 week. All right, if this is Jesus, then what does it mean? What covenant did Jesus confirm for 1 week and he only had half the week to fulfill it? What covenant?
The new covenant.
And what would that be?
The gospel, believe in Jesus Christ, justification by faith.
I think it goes way back to the Garden of Eden. That God's intention was that he would make man in his image and in his likeness. You can't prove that. I don't know. Is there a better covenant that fits better? And what did Jesus do during that 3.5 years to prove what a man in flesh and blood could do on this earth?
Well, I'm thinking of the covenant in Jeremiah 31.
All right.
Right?
Yeah, that's a good one too.
Yeah.
That he will, I will write a new law on your heart.
Right.
And that's the song that Rita was singing this morning.
Yeah. And I will be their God, they will be my people.
All right.
No longer will any man have to say no to the Lord. They will all know him.
All right. That's a good covenant, yeah. I think it encompasses all the covenant that God has for man. But in particular, Jesus, walking in flesh and blood as I stand here today, he healed the sick, opened the eyes of the blind, did he not?
Mm-hmm.
Preached the good news to the poor,
raised
the dead, cleansed the lepers, and no man could touch him until he himself voluntarily laid down his life. Proved it. When Judas came up in the garden with this horde of soldiers, this SWAT team, to arrest him. Whom do you seek? We're looking for Jesus of Nazareth. His answer, I am. I am he. And when he said that, the whole SWAT team fell back on their backs. I mean, I have nothing against police, but police coming to arrest God? Come on! He proved that he was voluntarily giving himself to them. He said, don't you know that I can call on how many legions of angels? Was it 12 legions or something? 7, whatever, a full and perfect number of legions of angels. Legions! I could call on them. I don't have to submit to this. So for 3.5 years, he demonstrated to them what we can be in him. What we shall be as sons of God. And in the midst of the week, the sacrifice, does it say? And in the midst of the week, he shall cause the sacrifice and oblation to cease, and for the overspreading of abominations, he shall make it desolate even until the consummation, and that determined shall be poured upon the desolator.
Is that talking about Titus?
I believe so, yeah. In the natural. But you know what? I think there's something else yet coming. There's some other abomination. Listen, the abomination was where?
In the holy place.
The abomination in the holy place. Okay? Here's the Holy of Holies. Here's the holy place. Here's the outer court. Now, we're going to talk about the abomination of desolation also in the holy place. We know that the outer court has been corrupted. We know that. Okay? We know that the outer court is not going to be protected in the tribulation. We're talking about the church. I mean, we've said this a gazillion times. You've got to understand what we're talking about. You cannot be in the outer court. And when you're in the holy place and you see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet is what Jesus said, then what are you to do?
Flee.
You are flee. Where?
To the mountains.
To the mountains. What are you not to do?
Go back.
You're not to go back into your old house, your old religion. You're not to go back and find your clothes. You're not to go back and look for some old righteousness. You're not to begin to invent new commandments and say, oh, we've got to do this, we've got to do that, we've got to not eat bread on a certain day or eat fish on a certain day. No, you're not to go and invent all these things of some new kind of righteousness. Your own clothes are filthy garments in God's sight. The only thing that counts is the righteousness of Jesus Christ. Now, he will... You were going to say... I thought I heard you say something.
What?
No, okay. I thought you started to say something. All right. I wanted to finish that verse. I want to go to Hebrews chapter 10. because I want to confirm Hebrew chapter 10, verse 12. I want to show you why this is the only sacrifice that God will ever accept. Hebrews chapter 10. Let us go to verse 10. By the which will we are sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. Do you see how the Roman Catholic Church has corrupted that? What do they do with their bread and their wine? The priest says that he can turn that bread into Jesus Christ and make another sacrifice. No, it is contrary to the Bible. See, this is one of the reasons these people don't like Paul. I believe that Paul wrote the book of Hebrews. His name isn't here, but everything about it, it's got Paul's fingerprints all over it. Amen? Because Paul comes against these false doctrines. All right, let's go down. Verse 12. But this man, this is Jesus, after he had offered one sacrifice, circle that word one. One sacrifice. Amen? For sins forever, sat down on the right hand of God, and from henceforth expecting till his enemies be made his footstool. Next verse. For by one offering he hath perfected forever them that are sanctified. Why was any continuing sacrifice odious to God? Why did it become an abomination that was eventually going to lead to desolation? You see, the abomination that was going on in Sodom, it was going on when Lot moved there. But it came to a point where finally God said, this thing is too much. It is brought to a place of desolation. I am going to annihilate that place. Man will never ever again live in this particular spot. And he brought fire and brimstone upon it. Somebody one time said, was it Dave Wilkerson? I don't know. I shouldn't blame Dave for it. Maybe it wasn't him. But it was a prophet of God said, listen, if God does not destroy, and I think they mentioned places like L.A. or San Francisco, I mean. If God does not do that, bring judgment upon those kind of places, those kind of activities, he's going to have to apologize to Sodom and Gomorrah for what he did to them. I thought it was kind of a cute word, but I think it was very meaningful. God is not going to overlook these things. And it isn't just, brethren, the worst sin in the world isn't just homosexuality. We've got vile, vile things going on in the heart of man today. That's just one of them. It's the one that blows the neon lights. My goodness, we saw their picture got one of those newspapers down in Cobleskill the other day. This gay pride thing going on in New York City. This right on the front, this woman wearing these great big heavy boots and big old colored streamers coming from her, and they call it pride. What? This is thumbing your nose. Calling this pride is thumbing your nose in the face of God. You know, an alcoholic, God bless him, I have more sympathy with an alcoholic. The alcoholics I've known, and I've dealt with and treated, you know, as a public health nurse, Alaska was full of alcoholics. And you know, yes, some of them are proud, but you know what? They don't go making parades down Main Street telling how proud they are of their alcoholism. An alcoholic is more apt to repent. You know, you find a guy laying in the gutter here. He's half gone. He's got this little brown sack next to him, you know, with maybe a few little sniffs of whatever it was still left in there. And you go to the guy and you say, "You're an alcoholic." He goes, "Yeah, you're right, I'm an alcoholic." You know, he's going to admit he's an alcoholic. You go to some prideful seminary graduate and suggest something to him, he'll fight with you, he'll argue with you, he'll beat you under the table. He'll not repent. And this is why Jesus said that the harlots and the sinners, harlots and who are the others? Thieves, whatever. They were going to come into the kingdom of God before the scribes and the Pharisees, before the religious crowd. All right, I'm not getting. We got to keep moving here.
Hey Mark,
yes.
Read the next verse.
Where are we?
In Hebrews.
Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah, go ahead and read it, Larry.
And the Holy Spirit also bears witness to us after this saying, "This is the covenant I will make with them. After those days, he declares the Lord."
Oh, there we go. Yes.
In your heart and write them in on your mind.
Yes, Jeremiah's covenant. Yes. So there it is mentioned. And I think the two are the same, really. Yeah. If we've got God written on our heart, we will be in his image and in his likeness. But the point is, you've got to want to be. Some of these songs we were singing this morning talked about when we come before his face, when we come in glory to see him. If you don't want that glory, the brightness of that glory, the beauty of totality of truth, if you've got anything in you that wants even a minuscule piece of the lie, you're going to look at that brightness of that glory and you're going to say, "I don't want it. I don't want it." And I'm wondering if there are people who are going to see his face and see the brightness of his face and they're going to go, "Oh, oh, no, it's too much." And they're going to want help. And I never understood this. When I first heard Brother DeSeele say, "People are going to be in hell because they want hell." As it says, how can that be? He said, "Brother Mark, man can want anything he wants." Yeah. People be... No, and he said, oh, this is it. He said, "Hell is the mercy of God." I said, "How can that be? How can hell be the mercy of God?" He said, "Because there are people who, if they were forced to go and spend eternity in a place of glory..." Consider this now. Consider this. All of our carnality is not going to have any place. Those little pieces of carnality that I'm still holding on to, those little desires that I still like, am I going to be willing to give them up when I come before his face? Because he's going to say, "Look, you come this way, it's forever. You want to hold on to any of them, you can go the other way." And there will be people making that choice. "No, it's too bright. It's too much."
You know, in a sense, we see, you can compare that to what's happening today in our country. That there's people that would rather see the country destroyed, their lives destroyed, than turn to Trump.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's how crazy they are.
Because I think Trump represents the values of Christianity. He doesn't say it, but I think he represents it.
In
some way. His ways are contrary to the ways of rebellion and rioting and looting and whatever. He doesn't preach, you know, I'd be happy if he did preach once in a while, but he doesn't.
He walked around with a Bible and went nuts over that.
Yeah, he went out to that church with a Bible in his hand, and they went bonkers over it.
Awesome.
He didn't. I don't think he opened it and read out of it. He just went with it.
Just waved it out.
Wow.
Yeah.
They went nuts.
It's what he represents. See. And that's that. They want darkness rather than light. Amen.
Well, darkness last week, you had a church over in Troy. They got set upon by witches and other crazy crowd.
Mm-hmm. But when they started preaching the gospel, they dispersed for a while.
2 days in a row.
Now, turn to Daniel 7. We have to keep moving here. Daniel 7. And we're going to go through the last 3.5 years. We're going to go through this confirm the covenant for the last 3.5 years. Oh, I'm sure it is somewhere, yeah. 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 This is the first mention in the Bible now of the 3.5 years. The first mention. And come to verse 21 in this chapter. Yes. Okay, so this was Daniel's vision of the four beasts. And I believe this vision was during the days of Belshazzar. I don't think Belshazzar... somebody shut that door. I don't think that Belshazzar's reign lasted very long, because there's only two things mentioned. One is in the first year of Belshazzar, and in the third year of Belshazzar, I think Daniel was when Daniel had this dream or vision. Now, we're talking about the beast that had 10 horns. Okay, had a head with 10 horns. All right, so. We'll just do a little drawing here. Here's the head of a beast. All right, I don't know what it looked like. And there were 10 horns. 1, 2, 3, 4, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. All right. And in his vision, this is an end time vision, okay? In his vision, a little horn came up and eliminated three. So, well, I should have left those three there. This little horn came up here amidst this three, and so for a little while, there were 11 horns. But then he eliminated these three, so we had 7 plus this one, and he was the 8th. All right, and this is a picture of the end time Antichrist. I believe these horns are men. It's quite clear the a horn means a man. So there are. We don't know who they are. 10 world rulers that are the movers and the shakers. I don't know who their names are. I'm not going to attempt to do it at this point, because if I do, I'll be embarrassed and one of them will die tomorrow or something that I've been wrong. All right. You can speculate. What was the big conference that the Bushes and all those used to go to, the 10 nations? By the way, the European Union started off with 10, I believe it was. There were 10 EU members, but it got up to 17. I don't know, there must be 20-some now members of the EU. Some of them are just minor, insignificant players. They're just there because, like, you know, take Luxembourg or something like that. I mean, what kind of a world power are they? Or Belgium, you know, they're not big movers and shakers, but they're in with somebody else. In other words, they're part of another conglomeration. So there comes a man on the scene who is very vile, and he just wipes out three of them just like that, bang, 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 and then he takes their place. But apparently he decides he's not going to wipe out all these other seven. He's going to have to work with them. All right, now I'm talking about the scene here. So I want to pick up here in verse 21. Let me read verse 20. And of the 10 horns that were in his head, and of the other which came up, and before whom three fell, even of that horn that had eyes and a mouth and spake very great things. In other words, he's a real big speaker. Whose look was more stout than his fellows. He was a mean looking fellow. Okay. I beheld the same horn made war with the saints. Now this, listen to this. This man, I think he's the man of sin. This Antichrist, this world ruler, he had enough power that he made war against the saints. In other words, he said, I'm making war against the whole church. And of course he's going to include the Jews in that too. But he's making war against the saints. Okay? And he prevailed against them. That means that there are a lot of Christians that he is going to prevail against. He's going to win. He's going to subdue a lot of Christianity. Okay? Until, in other words, there was a point where he had to stop. Until the Ancient of Days came. Who's the Ancient of Days?
Father.
The Father and Jesus. Yep. All right? And judgment was given. Now, I looked that word judgment was given one time, and I believe it says, and the court was in session. And the judge was seated at his seat in the courtroom. That's the meaning of that word. And judgment was that the court is set, and the judge is seated, and the jury is in the box.
Oh,
amen. And the saints of the most, and judgment was given to the saints of the Most High, the jury. And the time came that the saints possessed the kingdom. In other words, he had his way for 3.5 years until the Ancient of Days came and he set the court up and he said, now, I'm giving it to the saints of the Most High. But remember, when we say these, we're not talking about every willy-nilly Christian. We're talking about the sons of God. Okay? And let me see. I want to go a little further here. Yeah, go down to verse 28. Thus he said, the fourth beast shall be the fourth kingdom upon earth, which is, see this, it has its roots in the old Roman Empire. This man comes out of the old Roman Empire. He comes from somewhere. Suspicion, he could come from Rome. And we know who comes from Rome. Okay, he could. I didn't say he will. But he's going to be part of that old Roman Empire because that's the fourth beast. That's the iron mixed with clay at the end time. And he shall be diverse, which means different from all kingdoms. It's going to be a very different thing. And he shall devour the whole earth. Now, see, he's still got these other seven puppets here on the head. But he's the one that's moving things. He's going to devour the whole earth. It doesn't say except for the island of Tahiti or Bora Bora or some little place in the Solomon Islands somewhere. No, he says the whole earth. I have to believe it means the whole earth. Okay, nothing can escape. You know nothing can escape now. This internet system, you can't escape. You want to find somebody bad enough, you can find them. Amen? And he shall tread it down and break it in pieces. Keep this term in mind. Treading it down and breaking in pieces. Tromping it down with his feet. And the 10 horns out of this kingdom are 10 kings that shall arise, and another shall arise after them, and he shall be diverse from the first, and he shall subdue 3 kings, which is men. And he shall speak great words against the Most High. In other words, he's gonna curse God. Amen. And he shall wear out the saints. How many of you know that one of the tactics of the devil is to wear you out? But you know what? The warfare, we can wear him out. And we wear the devil out by bringing the rebuke of the Lord. The Lord rebuke you. The Lord rebuke you. And we begin to speak deliverance to other people. We begin to pray for other people. Begin to pray for your kids, your cousins, your family, your whoever. People that you know, people that you love. Begin to pray for them. And you're going to wear out the devil. You see, the devil can only be in one place at one time. He cannot be everywhere. He is limited in that he cannot read your thoughts. Amen. And when you pray in the Spirit, he doesn't know what you're praying. So you can wear him out. Amen. But his tactic is to wear you out. He shall wear out the saints of the Most High. And think to change times and laws. Well, haven't we seen how laws are being changed here in America? We saw who was appointed to be one of the most conservative judges on the Supreme Court. 3 years ago, he ruled on an identical law in Texas and said it was unconstitutional. The thing comes before his court this past week, and he says, okay, they can go ahead. That law in Louisiana is unconstitutional. They go ahead and abort all the babies they want. They don't have to have certified doctors there. So in other words, almost identical. And he switched. He's going to change the law. So when you find judges changing laws, when you find cases coming before the Supreme Court that demand two men to be able to marry, two women to marry each other, this is what he's talking about here. Now, I don't know about changing times. I guess they haven't tried to change the calendar yet, but who knows what's going to happen. Amen? And they shall be given into his time. Now, here's the verse I'm looking for. Until a time and times and dividing of time. Let me write this down. Time, times, dividing. Okay, what does this mean in numbers? Time is one. Times is two. Dividing, one half, right? That's a time divided. Add it all up, what do you get? One, three, and a half. Three and a half. So it's 3.5 years. How long is this guy going to have his right to have this power? So you see, when you see this come to pass, it's almost like you can mark your calendar and say, okay, I've got 3.5 more years. Now the point is, these things come in gradually. So sometimes we don't know really when did he come in. When did he really rise up? I don't know. But the Bible says he's going to have 3.5 years. He's going to have time, times, and the dividing of time. But the judgment shall sit. All right, here's that word again. The court. The heavenly court. The court of the Most High God. He's going to set up his court, and he's going to bring this guy into the court for trial, spiritually speaking. The judgment shall sit, and they shall take away his dominion. They. Well, what's this word, they? Are we going to be involved in this? It sounds like it. And they shall take away his dominion to consume and destroy it unto the end. And the kingdom and dominion and the greatness of the kingdom under the whole heaven shall be given to the people of the saints. Listen to this. It's going to be given to the people of the saints. What? Of the Most High. Let me draw this. Most High. People. The kingdom. When it says in Revelation that we shall rule and reign with him. Judgment, the kingdom shall be given to the people of the Most High. You know, God is a very unusual kind of king. He could keep it all himself. He could say, I am going to rule. No man is going to make one move unless I say he can move. But somehow he's giving it. Why? Because he wants a people who will be like him. A people who will have his name inscribed, you know, on his hand, his name in their heart, his laws in their hearts. In other words, they will think like God. They will act like God. They will conduct their human lives like God for 1,000 years. They will marry. They will have children. They will have grandchildren. Yes, I believe life will go on because it's a kingdom. In other words, the description of giving them the kingdom, he isn't going to give them a great big old pile of nuclear ash that's going to be unsafe to walk on for a gazillion years until all these half-lives of these nuclear products all break down. No. God isn't going to allow that. Amen? Let me get to the end here. Whose kingdom shall be an everlasting kingdom, and all dominions shall serve and obey him. Now, the him is not the people, but the Most High God. All kingdoms and dominions will serve him. He's the head. Amen? He is the real head. This head is a false head. It's not going to last. Amen. Verse 28. Hitherto is the end of the matter. As for me, Daniel, my cogitations much troubled me, and my countenance changed in me, but I kept the matter in my heart. All right. Now that is the first mention of 3.5 years. Now before we leave Daniel and go to Revelation, let's go to chapter 12. Of Daniel. So you see, when you find a thing first time mentioned in the Bible, a concept, the first time mentioned, we should pay heed to it because God is saying something very important. All right, so Daniel, the revelation came to Daniel, time, times, and dividing of time. Now, the angel speaks to Daniel again in chapter 12, okay? And let's just go through chapter 12 here. It says, and at that time shall Michael stand up. Now remember, Michael was the archangel that came and bound the prince of Persia so that Gabriel could get through the spiritual realm. He was bound in a spirit place. He was trying to come from heaven to Daniel, and this demonic devil prince of Persia was holding Gabriel back. But Michael is the man that gets through. All right, so he says here, and at that time, we're talking about the end time, Michael, the great angel, shall stand up, the great prince that stands for the children of thy people. Now that's people that believe in God, people that believe in Jesus Christ, okay? And there shall be a time of trouble such as never was since there was a nation, even to that same time. And at that time, my people shall be delivered, everyone that shall be found written in the book. Okay, now what book are we talking about? Do you want to know a little more about that book? Revelation chapter, is it 20, I believe it is, or 21? Gives a description of this book. It's in 20, I believe. Amen. And in this chapter, it tells how at the end of this time, Satan is bound for 1,000 years. Okay, an angel comes and chains him up and throws him in the pit. Okay? And he put a seal on him that he can't come out and deceive the people and the nations anymore. But after that, he's going to be loose for a little while. Okay, now. Verse what? 15. Let's go back to let's start at verse 11. And I saw a great white throne, and him that sat on him, from whose face the earth and the heavens fled away, and there was found no place for them. Oh my goodness, you can't imagine the power, awesome power of that great white throne. The power of the light of God. Amen. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God. And the books were opened. All right. Books were opened. And another book was opened. Let me write the difference here. Okay, we can do away with this guy. So, books. Book and books. What's the meaning of these? One is just one book. This is a plurality of books. Let's go back. And the books were opened, and another book was opened. Okay? Which is the book of life. Okay, the book is the book of life. Okay. It says, and the dead were judged out of those things which are written in the books, according to their works. So, this is the end of the 1,000 years now. And these are people who are dead, but they were not part of the first resurrection. Okay? So they're people that died in sin. Now, what are they going to be judged from? Books. And what's written in the books? The things that they did. Their works. Okay? And the dead were judged for those things which were written in the books according to their works. So, if you want to be judged according to your works, this is where your judgment will come. From books. Everything that you did. You know, I've heard from people that have come near to dying, and all of a sudden, everything that they ever did went ripping by them in the fastest video that you ever saw. Every sin, everything. Oh my goodness, I don't want my life to go flying by me like that. I don't want to be judged by the books. I want, you know, because what I want, if there was anything in the books about me, I want it all obliterated by the blood of Jesus Christ. All the memory of my past, especially the bad part, obliterated by the blood of Jesus, covered by the blood. Amen. Death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. So they died once in the natural. Now they're brought up from their grave. for just a few minutes, they stand before this awesome throne of God, and he says, you're judged by the book. This tells me that hell has different degrees of torment. I can't imagine guys like Stalin or Hitler having a real nice time in hell at all. It's all torment. But there would be greater torment of the soul and greater fire and burning of those whose works are very vile. Okay? And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. So, the only place for you to be is in the book of life. And how do we get into the book of life? Is your name there?
I can say you can, by accepting Jesus.
Yeah.
I believe our names are in there before we're born. And if we don't accept Jesus, they're blotted out.
Yes, you know what? There's evidence of what Rita just said. Because Moses came to God, he was negotiating for the children of Israel who were really being very naughty. And God said, I'm going to wipe them all out and I'll start over with you. And Moses said, no, God, you can't do that because you're going to get a bad reputation among the heathen. They're going to say you weren't able to save them properly. No, don't do that. He said, look, take my name out of the book. See, somehow Moses knew his name was in the book. And now God isn't going to take your name out. You could say that to God, but he'll never take it out. But Moses was offering himself as a sacrifice. No, Moses, you're not qualified. Only Jesus Christ is going to be qualified. You can't make it. You will not qualify, Moses.
A type of Christ.
Yeah, in a way he was a type of Christ. Yeah.
He was a deliverer.
Yeah. So yes, I think what Rita said is what I believe.
Because it's God's will that all should be saved and none perish. So
yeah.
If you choose to.
When you're born, or even before you're born, I believe you have your name in the book. And if you die as a newborn baby, your name hasn't been obliterated from that book. But when you come to the age of accountability, where you begin to lie and steal and get rebellious and disobedient and things like that, then you're accountable. And then you can remove your name by beginning to sin. And this is why children need to be saved. I just looked in a thing my mother wrote. I tore the page out of my old original Bible. Born again, January 20, 1950. I was 10 years old anyway. Yeah, 52 I think it was. Yeah. I would have been 11 in July. Yeah, children, this is why it's good that Cody has accepted the Lord Jesus Christ. He was going to go the way of sin, like all of us. But he said, no, Lord, I want my name back in that book. Write my name back in your book, the book of life. Boy, you know what? I think our time is about. Let me finish in Daniel chapter 12, and then we'll quit. Okay. So in verse 2, and many of them that sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake. See, we're reading the same thing that we read in Revelation. Many that sleep in the dust of the earth, in other words, have died, shall awake. Some to everlasting life, and some to shame and everlasting contempt. In other words, the resurrection is going to go before the white throne of God, judgment. It says, and they that be wise shall shine as the brightness of the firmament, and they that turn many to righteousness as the stars forever and ever. But thou, O Daniel, shut up the words and seal the book, even to the time of the end. In other words, the book of Daniel, the understanding of these mysteries was to be sealed from our understanding until the end time. Now, I believe we've come to the end time when the meaning of Daniel is to be revealed to us. Okay? And many shall run to and fro. What do you think? Does that apply to the 21st century? I mean, I've been part of that. I run to and fro all over the earth. How can we do that? Because we've got jet planes. Those planes, man, when we were flying big time, those planes would be stuffed right full from one end to the other. If you could find one or two empty seats, you'd be very fortunate. And then sometimes they'd be overstuffed. And they say, well, we'll give $500 to whoever's willing to give up their seat. Yeah. Men run to and fro, and knowledge shall be increased. We have got more knowledge today, just about anything you want to know. All you got to do is go on the internet. Can I use the word Google? Or some equivalent to Google? Some internet search engine. Write in a question. Any question. Who was so and so? What was thus and thus? How do I identify such and such a bird? Put it in there. Knowledge. It's there available for all mankind. Everything that man has known up till this. You could probably find out how to build an atom bomb on the internet. They say it's there. I mean, I'm not interested because I'm not. Anyway. Then Daniel looked, and behold, there stood two other, and one on this side of the bank of the river, and the other on that side of the bank of the river. And one said to the man clothed in linen. So this man clothed in linen must have been standing in the middle of the river, okay, which was upon the waters of the river, how long shall it be to the end of these wonders? Okay, now here's the second word. And I heard the man clothed in linen, which was a mighty angel. These are all angels now. These are angels asking an angel to tell Daniel the story. Which was upon the waters of the river, when he held up his right hand and his left hand unto heaven, and swear by him that liveth forever, that it shall be for a time and times and a half. A time and times and a half. Three and a half. The midst of the week. That's three and a half. So from Daniel now, we have three witnesses in the book of Daniel. We'll go to Revelation next, but let me just finish this. It shall be for that time and times and a half. And when he shall have accomplished to scatter the power of the holy people, all these things shall be finished. In other words, this man of sin is going to... he's going to succeed in destroying the church. That which is called church. Now, he's not going to destroy the sons of God, but he's going to destroy the church system. He's going to scatter. To scatter means to destroy. To trample underfoot, the same thing. Outer court, trampled underfoot. Holy place, which way are you going to go? Are you going to go to the high places, the Holy of Holies? Are you going to flee back out into the old order church? Are you going to go back into the old order of works and that type of thing? Which way are you going to go? Because depending on which way you go, it's going to be scattered, it's going to be trampled. Okay? And I heard, but I understood not. Then I said, O my Lord, what shall be the end of these things? And he said, go thy way, Daniel, for the words are closed up and sealed till the time of the end. And many shall be purified and made white and tried. Tried. That means put in the fire. But the wicked shall do wickedly. See, what do sinners do? Sinners sin. You can't cure a sinner from not sinning. Sinners sin. Maybe you can cure an alcoholic from his addiction, but you can't cure him from being a sinner. He'll take up some other sin unless Jesus Christ, the blood of Jesus, comes and he receives the repentance that he needs. Okay? And wicked shall do wickedly, and none of the wicked shall understand, but the wise shall understand. I'm going to bet to the last verse. But go thy way till the end be, for thou shalt rest and stand in thy lot in the end of days. The reason I didn't read those others, because I don't know the meaning of those numbers. And there's people that say, oh, we've got those numbers figured out. There's an extra so many days here. And this is when our group is going to stand up and we're going to do this and we're going to do that. Yeah, I don't know what it means. All I can say is it's still sealed. And man does not know yet the meaning of those other numbers. Some of this I think we can understand. Okay, we didn't get very far. We still got more of Daniel's, of the last half of Daniel's 70th week. There's more in Revelation. God bless you.